All right, Parshas Bishalach. So we have the focal point of the Parsha towards the beginning as the Jewish people, as we're up to the story where they... we'll get there. A page, you can open up to page 370, is where we'll start from. So the Jews are on their way out of Mitzrayim. They are redirected by Hashem as they journey out. The beginning of the Parsha tells how Paro had a change of heart and decides to pursue after them. And then we're going to learn about their panic at the sea, the eventual splitting of the sea, and their journey through. That's the part of the story that we're up to. So what I want to study today are a couple of verses during that period, in between their journey out, from when the Egyptians have pursued them, and when they actually enter into the sea. We'll go through that period. I really want to focus on one verse, but to set the context, we'll study a bunch both before and after. So let's start on the bottom of page 368, 370. This is a couple of pages, two pages into the Parsha already. We have here Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Egypt pursued them and overtook them and camped by the sea, their horses and their chariots. So we have already the beginning of the stage where the Egyptians have traveled after the Jews and have caught up to them. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, page 370. Paro Ikriv. Paro approached, Vayisu v'nei Yisrael aseinehem, the Jews look up, v'hinei Mitzrayim noseya achareihem. And what do they see? Egypt journeying after them. Vayiru me'od, vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Jewish people were very frightened. What do they have in front of them? The sea. They look behind them. What they have is the Egyptian army approaching. What's their response in great fear? Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. They cried out to Hashem. Now, before we look into that, I want to read one or two more psukim. What then is their response, the nature of their cry out to Hashem? Now, we've discussed before that the language of Vayitzaku is a language of prayer. The crying out to Hashem is a form of prayer in which a person can do so. A person can cry out in pain or out of fear. And what we see here from the Jewish people trapped between the Yam, between the sea, and the Egyptians is a crying out to Hashem. What do they say in Pasuk Yirala, verse 11? Vayomer Moshe hamibli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim lekachtonu lamus b'midbar. Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to take us out here to die in the desert? Ma zos asisolonu lahotzionu mi Mitzrayim. What have you done, Moshe, taking us out to Mitzrayim? So the fear, the fright of the people is responded to, or the way that they respond to their fear, they cry out to Hashem, and they say to Moshe, there weren't enough graves in Egypt, you have to take us here, that we should die in the desert. What have you done? This is what we told you. Chadal mimenu, leave us alone. V'na'avdos Mitzrayim, ki tov lanu avodas Mitzrayim imuseinu b'amidbar. Better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moshe, you should have left us alone. We asked you to leave us alone. Now look what you've brought us to, our death here in the desert. So their response is one, I don't know how unjustified, you know, in the scheme of things, having been a slave nation for all of these years, they didn't witness a year's full of miraculous events. Now they've been taken out. One would think a little bit more they should have been on the level of God will take care of us. They respond in fear and anger. What have you done? Take us back to Mitzrayim. It would be better to have died there than to be where we are. Rashi says, on the words that we started in verse 10, Pasuk Yud, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, that the Jewish people cried out to Hashem, Rashi says, if you want to follow inside, it's in the first column of Rashi, four lines down, Vayitzaku tosu umnos avosam. They grabbed hold of the craft of their fathers. What does it mean that they grabbed hold of the craft of their fathers? What was their father's craft? When we say fathers here, Rashi doesn't mean their literal father, but their fathers, meaning Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What was the craft of the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov?
Shepherds,
okay. Rashi here is a reference to the fact they were prayers. They were prayers. right? Not prayers, but prayers. They were those who prayed. The craft of the fathers, continues Rashi. But Avraham hu omer elamakom asher amad sham. Avraham went to the place where he had been standing, speaking with Hashem, from that pasuk where we learn that Avraham established the tefillah of Shachris. The Yitzhak, it says, Lasuach Vasadeh, he went out to speak in the field. We learn from here that he established the prayer of Mincha. The Yaakov, Vayifko Bamakom, he arrived and approached that place where the sages arrived. He established the prayer of Marv. So the Jewish people are frightened. They're stuck between the Yam on the one hand, the sea in front of them, the approaching Egyptian army on the other hand. What do? Vayitzaku el Hashem. They cry out to Hashem, says Rashi. Yeah, they grabbed hold of the same craft that their forefathers had taught them. When you're in trouble, what do?
Pray.
I had always seen this, Rashi, for years and years and years now, as a positive. This is the Jewish response. This is what we do. Where do we learn this? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as Rashi quotes. They all prayed. The Jewish children now in Egypt learned, as Rashi says, grabbed hold of the craft of their fathers. They prayed when they were in trouble. And I always thought that this was a good thing. I always interpreted that Rashi to mean that. I saw it last night, the Maharal understands this exactly the opposite. Says the Maharal, Tofsu umnos avosam. Rashi says, Rashi's using a strange language. Why did he say that they grabbed hold of the umnos of their fathers? Why didn't he just say, they prayed, Vayitzaku el Hashem, they cried out to Hashem. Rashi doesn't need to say anything. It speaks, the pasuk, the verse, speaks for itself. The Jewish people were trapped. What'd they do? They called out to Hashem. Rashi says, let me explain to you what happened. They're grabbing hold of the same craft of their fathers. Says the Maharal, De'ein lomar shehoyu tsoyakim kederech hatzadikim. Don't try explaining that they were crying out in the ways of the righteous who cry out to Hashem when they're in trouble. How do you know that? How does the Maharal know that you cannot possibly say that the Jewish people were crying out in the ways of the righteous people? What do they say when they cry out? They say to Moshe, what are you doing to us? Why did you take us here to die in the desert? There weren't enough graves in Mitzrayim that we have to be here. This is what we told you. You should have left us there. It's better for us to stay in Mitzrayim and serve that. So they're not crying out in the ways of the righteous. So Rashi was bothered. I don't understand. How do you read these psukim one after another? First it says they called out to Hashem, and then they turned to Moshe, and they berate him. So Rashi was bothered, explains the Maharal. That means that Vayitzaku el Hashem could not possibly have been the type of prayer of the righteous, because then it wouldn't have been followed by what they yell at Moshe about. So Rashi answers, so let me explain to you what happened. Do you know why they cried out to Hashem? Says the Maharal, Elashuhu umnos avosam. This is the craft of their fathers. Shekacho yaminog avosam. This was the same tradition that they had gotten. Vidover shuhu minhog avosam. Something which is a family tradition. Nimshocha adam tamid acharav. A person naturally follows it. When you're stuck and you're not sure how to react, how do you react? The same way that you saw your parents do. The same way that their parents did. It's just a pattern of behavior that you've fallen into. Af al gav she'eino osa dekavonos libo vidaito. Even though you're not doing it with the intention of your heart or your mind, it's not a purposeful, meaningful act. When you're stuck and you're frozen, what do? Whatever you're used to doing. This is what I saw them doing. So that's what I do. And this is why, in emergency situations, this is why we train. Right? Why do emergency personnel train, and they train, and they train? Because when you're stuck in a quandary, you fall back to whatever you're used to doing. So if you train, we assume that you'll fall back then into the correct pattern. If you don't train and you just intellectually know something, you'll do whatever you're using. How many times have we all heard, either ourselves experience or heard others, where you see a parent saying something to a child and they say, oh my goodness, my father used to say that to me and I swore I would never say that to my children. I've heard that so many times. Why do we do that? Because you never learned anything else. So in the heat of the moment where a child does something that drives you crazy, what comes out is what you had seen or experienced yourself as a child. And you say, I can't believe I just said that. I thought I would never say that. Well, if you didn't actually replace it with something, you're just going to go back to what you're used to doing. The Maharal explains, Rashi is bothered. This Vayitzaku El Hashem is not a prayer of the Jewish people because they meant it. They were crying out to Hashem with all of their heart and their feelings and their emotions. The Jewish people have been trained to daven. What do you do when you're in trouble? You daven. But you see, it was empty. It was filled with complaints, hatred towards Moshe. Why'd you take us here? What are you doing? It wasn't filled with kavanas halev v'daito. It wasn't filled with that. So sometimes, and I stress this, I think it was such a beautiful Maharal, we often do the same thing. Something happens in the world, and what do? Everybody knows. Say Tehillim, you go daven. Well, that's great. That is the response. That's what we've learned from our fathers and from our fathers' fathers and from our fathers' fathers. That's what we do. But that's not the end of the story. That doesn't do anything on its own. If it's not with meaning, if it's not with feeling, if it's not with passion, so then you have what you have over here. Vayitzaku El Hashem, they cry out to Hashem, and they turn to Moshe, and they say, why'd you kill us? What are you doing? And the Maharal says, this is not the cry of the righteous people. This is not that same type. Rashi had to explain what they're doing. Rashi says, oh, I know what they're doing. They're just doing it because that's what they saw in their father's house. When you see them in your father's house, that's what you do. But where is the feeling? Where is the passion? And that's how the Maharal, that's what Rashi's saying. Beautiful. I'd always thought Rashi was saying, look at the Jewish people, how they've learned the lessons from the fathers. And Maharal says, no, because if you read their words, it doesn't show the prayer of the righteous. It shows just the opposite, and therefore Rashi had to explain Tasu Umnos Avosam is justifying why they did it, because that's what they saw their fathers do. Alright, we'll get more into Tefillah as we go on. Okay, continuing in our story. Pasuk Yigimel. So now we've had the response. The Jewish people are frightened. Their response is one, they cry out to Hashem, and they complain to Moshe, why'd you take us here? Moshe's response, the leader, ever-present, totally disregards their fears, totally disregards their concerns. Vayomer Moshe el Ha'am, Pasuk Yigimel, verse 13, Moshe says, Al Tiro'u, don't be afraid. His Yatzvu, Uru'u es Yeshua Hashem, Asher Yatzvu Lachem Hayom, just stand fast, wait and see, Hashem is going to bring the salvation, you will see it. Ki Asher Re'isim es Mitzrayim Hayom, Lo Sosifu Lerosim Odad Olam, as you see Egypt today, you will never see them again. Hashem ilochem lochem vatem tacharishon. Hashem is going to do the battle for you. You just be silent, not to worry. So in response to the fear and the panic of the Jewish people, why'd you take us here? We're going to die. Moshe is calm, reassuring, not to worry, he says to them. Hashem will take care of it. You don't even have to do anything. You can just stand by the side, and Hashem will take care of everything for you. Atem tacharishon. Just be silent. Just if you just close your mouths and let the situation play out, says Moshe, everything will be fine. That's the context for what we're actually going to study this morning. Now we have the context set up, the panic, the situation, Moshe's reassurance, and now Hashem speaks to Moshe. Let's study that together. Pasuk Tesvav, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Ma titzak elai? Why do you cry out to me? Daber el bnei Yisrael v'yisa'u. Speak to the children of Israel and let them journey forth. What's the problem in this pasuk? Right, excellent. Where's it coming from? Like, we just set the context up. Right? The context is, the Jewish people are crying, the Jewish people are in a panic, they're screaming at Moshe. Moshe responds and says, don't be afraid, my children. Hashem has brought us here. All you need to do is be silent. Hashem is going to fight for you. Don't get in the way. Everything is fine. Hashem speaks to Moshe and says, why are you yelling at me? Tell the Jewish people to travel. What do you mean, why are you yelling at me? We have no record of anything like that. Moshe is just the opposite. Moshe is the source of calm. He's the source of reassurance. He's telling everybody to chill out. Hashem is going to take care of us. Don't worry. Okay, let's learn Rashi. Rashi obviously was bothered by this as well. Says Rashi, Pasuk Tesvav, it's on your second column, halfway down the column, if you'd like to follow inside. Ma titzak elai, lo madnu, we learn from here, shehoyo Moshe oimeru mispalo. Moshe also had started to daven. Because the Jewish people were correct in their response. What is the Jewish response to problems? We daven. That's correct.
We also complain.
And that's the reality. We haven't been taught that, but that's what we come up with. So says Rashi, we see from here the fact that Hashem is telling Moshe, why are you crying out to me? Apparently, what was Moshe doing? Apparently, he was crying out to Hashem. It might not be stated in the text explicitly, but if the fact that Hashem's opening words to Moshe are, stop crying, stop calling out to me, why are you doing that? Clearly, what Moshe had been doing is praying. And we could assume that this was the prayer of the righteous, as the Maral defines. It was a prayer with meaning, with feeling, with emotion. And he'd been praying. Now, that's what we would expect. I would expect the leader, Moshe, to be doing so. That being the case, put that back in the text. But what's Hashem's then response? What is he saying to Moshe? Why are you praying? Now, right? Let's answer that question ourselves. Why is Moshe davening to Hashem?
Because that's what
his answer is. What else should he do? The Yam is over here. Here's the water, right? We can't go there. Here's the Egyptian army. Paro and all of his chariots and all of his armed men, they're over there. We're in the middle. We don't have any arms. We have a nation of slaves. Do you have any other options out there? Like, well, I'm open to suggestions. What should the Jewish people have done? Right? I mean, what should they have done? It's death and death and nowhere to go. So what does Moshe do? He davens. Right? Is that not the appropriate response? Is there anything else you could have imagined you should have done with a nation full of unarmed people standing after being slaves? They're now trapped, being attacked. Yeah, good idea, Moshe. Yeah.
But maybe I'm going by the English, but it says, why do you cry out to me? Now maybe it's the crying out. Maybe if Moshe had stood there and said, okay, Hashem, now what do we do next? And so, please, Hashem, help us.
Okay, fair. Rashi doesn't address, he simply says, Melamed Shayu, what was his language? Omeru Mispalo. He was davening, he doesn't use Ritzaka. Okay. So the problem now is, so Rashi, again, the problem forces up, the fact that Hashem says, why are you crying out to me? Clearly means that he had been crying out to him. That makes sense. Then we have to understand, well, then why is Hashem's response, stop. Why are you doing that? Tell the people to move.
Because he told the people to stand still and watch for what Hashem would do for them.
Yeah.
Now, Hashem is saying, tell them to move. March.
But why stop davening?
I'm not saying you should stop davening.
Hashem does.
What?
Hashem does.
Well, but he was davening for this almost like a miracle to happen while the people are standing there waiting for it. So he's saying, no, don't stand still. Move, and then you'll see it.
Okay, so let's see how Rashi judges. So Rashi, again, the two parts of the pasuk are, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to move. Says Rashi, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo eis atah v'ha'arich b'tfila. This is not the time to lengthen yourself in davening. This is not the time to be busy with a long prayer service. She Yisrael nisunin b'tzara. The Jewish people, Moshe, are in trouble. This is not the time to be busy with davening. Okay, let me just say that again. Says Hashem to Moshe, the Jewish people are in trouble. Stop davening, will you? The Jewish people are in trouble. Don't you see? Look. Trouble, Moshe. The Yam, the Egyptians, we're in trouble. Will you stop davening, please? Okay, I don't think I need to explain the question, right? Says the Maral. Do you know what's going on over here? This is magnificent. Says the Maral. Nira, it seems from this Chazal, the Rashi's quoting, Shekol's manshuhu omenu mispalol. The entire time, as long as Moshe is involved in his prayer, lo ne'ene adsof tfiloso mashuhu mispalol. Hashem could not answer him until the end of his tfilo. While he's in the middle of davening, I can't respond. I need to wait till you finish. So Moshe, look, we're in trouble here. I need to get going, says God to Moshe. listen, my children, I really need to get moving on this salvation. The script is running, time's running out. Can you please stop davening so I can save the Jewish people? Hashem says to Moshe, Ki ata lo eis l'ha'arach. This is not the time to make a lengthy prayer service. She Yisrael nesunin batzara, because the Jewish people are in trouble. Says Marlon, how do I know that what I'm saying is true? Because if it wouldn't be what I'm saying, then just the opposite. Of course, this is what you're supposed to do. There's nothing else to do. You can't go here, you can't go there. There's nowhere to turn to daven. And yet, when Hashem says to stop davening, what he must be saying is, I can't answer you until you're done. So please finish so I can answer you. Says the Pachad Yitzchak, Yitzchak Hutner, explaining the Maharal, explaining Rashi, what does it mean that Hashem needs to tell Moshe to stop davening, that I can't answer you while you're davening, I need to wait till you're done? Says Rav Hutner, the Medrash asks, he quotes the Medrash asks, why did Hashem do this to the Jewish people at the Yom Suf? Why did he do this? Why did he create a situation where he directs them into a place where the water is in front of them on the one side, and the Egyptians are on the other side? Why did he set up that whole scenario? Lama osa kadosh baruch hu lohem kach. Say, ask the sages, why did Hashem do this? El ashaya kadosh baruch hu misave letzfilasam. Hashem desired, mitave means have a taiva, he has a desire for the tfilas, for the prayers of the Jewish people. Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, do you want to know what this is similar to? I believe this medrash is quoted in a lot of different contexts, but here it's brought in the way that, in the context that it's brought, is in over here, why did he do this where the Jewish people needed to daven? A king was walking along the way, and he sees a young lady who is crying out to be saved from bandits who were attacking her. The king hears, Shama HaMelech V'Hitzila. The king hears her cries, saves her. La'achar yomim, after a number of days, bikesh oisa isha, shemisavesh et tedaver imo. He wanted to speak, develop a relationship with the woman. So La'isa writes, she didn't want, she wasn't interested. Doesn't need the king. Ma'asa, the king's got a problem. He wants to have a relationship with the woman who he just saved, and she's not interested. Well, he's the king. So you know what the king does when he wants to have a relationship with someone who's not interested? HaMelech gira bo alistim. The Melech hires the bandits to attack her. Kadesha titzok. So she should cry out, save me, O king. Vayishma HaMelech. Kevin shebo Allah alistim isave hischilat soyekes laMelech. So when he's walking by and she's being attacked, she cries out to the king, Amalah HaMelech lekach ha'isi misave lishmoya kailacha. Ah. That's good. I love when you call my name, he says. I love hearing that. And then he sends the bandits away. So say the sages, why Hashem did this to the Jewish people. Do you know why he set up a scenario like this? Because he loves hearing our voice. He loves when we cry out. He loves when we talk to him. But the problem is, Eini rotza, the young lady doesn't realize that the king wants to have a conversation. The king, she's turning down a conversation with the king? What's wrong with her? I don't know what's wrong with her, but she doesn't want it. So the king says, listen, I'm the king, I can make it happen. If you want it, I want to speak with you. So I'll set up a scenario where you'll speak with me. And when you call out, I say, ah, I love it when you call my name. The king of kings wants to hear us speak. But we don't want to have a conversation with him. We're not interested. We got other things. We're busy with life. Who's got time for a conversation with the king? So the king sets up a situation which requires us to speak. Says Rav Hutner in the most beautiful language, Chazinan Mizeh, Ein ha-tfilo ba'a mishum ha-tzara. It's not that the tfilo, our prayers, come because of problems we have. Ela hatzara ba'a mishum hatzfila. But our problems happen to us so that we will daven. We have problems because Hashem wants to hear us daven. And therefore it's not that we daven as a response to tzvila, as a response to problems, that He sends us problems so that we will daven. That being the case, says Rav Hutner, since the whole pshat is that He sends us problems in order that we daven, you cannot answer in the middle of the tefillah, because what's primary and what's secondary? Primary is the conversation. What's secondary is the problem that was brought in order to get us to have a conversation. If I were to stop your davening in order to save you, I'd be destroying the whole purpose of what I'm doing here. The whole purpose was to create a conversation. So I can't save you while you're in the middle of talking to me, because that's really what the whole thing is about. It's all about the speaking. But when the difficulty gets so bad, what do I say to you? Okay, now cut it short, so that now I'll save you. Now that we've had that conversation, now everything is good. But while you're talking, can't. Pasuk says, we say this pasuk on fast days, V'hoya terem yikru'u v'ani ye'aneh. Before you call out to me, I will answer. Odhei midabrim v'ani yeshma. While they are speaking, and I will listen. Listen to the beauty of the Navi. While before you call out to me, I can answer you. But while you are speaking, what do? I listen. I don't answer while you're speaking, because while you're speaking, I'm enjoying that. I could either save you before or after. But while you're speaking, this is the principal nature of our relationship. At that point, you can't ask me to answer you, because now is when I want to hear you speak. Says Rav Funder, in conclusion of his discussion, he says, this is a beautiful explanation in the ma'ala of the tefila ktsara, and the advantage of the short tefila. A person's in trouble. There's a beautiful aspect of the short but sweet. Hashem, I need help. Just short and sweet. When you're in the middle of talking, that's what he's looking for. So you got to end it. But there should be a constant progression throughout the day of a tefila ktsara, just keeping the dialogue. It's that dialogue keeps the problems away, because the problems only come in order to get us to cry out. That's why they're there. Because if we'd be calling and having the conversation in the first place, the sages understand, listen to the way they speak it up. The king wants to have a conversation. She doesn't want. The king needs to force the conversation. If she would want to have the conversation, they'd run off happily ever after and there'd be no problems. All the problems that we have are in order to continue that dialogue. But then when you're having the dialogue, when it's really an eis tzara, when it's a difficult time and the Jewish people are in danger, then it's got to be short in order that the salvation can come. Because while you're talking, the way that Hashem set it up is he can't answer while the conversation is going on. So therefore, says Rashi, Ma titzak Eli, why are you calling out to me? Now's not the time for a long tefillah, Moshe. The Jewish people are in trouble, don't you see? I need to save them. But in order for me to save them, your tefillah, because Moshe's tefillah is the tefillah of all tefillahs. That's the highest of the high. He's not just calling out out of rote or out of nature. That's what he does. He's crying out. Hashem says, I'm loving this, but I need to save my children. So if you could just cut that short a little bit, I'm going to get to work and bring the salvation to the Jewish people. A beautiful, beautiful idea. This really ties in with the first thing that we had said, where tafsu umnos avosim, where they just grabbed on to the language of their fathers. It is true. Every time the Jewish people as a whole suffer national calamity, the tragedies, the all the things that we've gone through in recent times, and we react by calling it Tehillim, that is correct. That's what we're supposed to do. But if it's empty, if it's just doing that which we're supposed to do without any meaning or feeling behind it, then it hasn't accomplished the purpose. The reason why the Jewish people are suffering is in order to get us into shul to daven. But if that falls flat, if when we're there, nothing really changes, it's not a real dialogue, it's not developing the relationship, well then it's not going to solve the problem that brought it about in the first place, because that problem was only there to get us to daven. So if we didn't daven with the heart or feeling or emotion, then that doesn't really count, and it's just going to continue. But when we successfully make our way into the shuls, which is what we're supposed to do, and we add to Tehillim, which is what we're supposed to do, and the relationship develops, the conversation is there, then when we conclude the Tehillim and we close the book at night, Hashem says, I'll take care of your problems. But you got to, the nature of the tzara, the difficulty, is only coming to bring us to that relationship, and that is derived, Rashi says, from this pasuk of Matzitzak Eli, why are you calling out to me? I need to save them. I need you to stop, as the Maharal explains, because while he's davening, Hashem will not be able to save them. All right. Let's move on. Says the back half of that pasuk. So Hashem says to Moshe, why are you calling out to me? Well, what should you be doing instead? Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Speak to the Jewish people, and they will travel. Now, grammatically, this is a very difficult pasuk, because Rashi is going to point out. What it should have said, what's in our own minds, what is the pasuk saying? Tell the Jewish people to move on. Don't just stand there. Move on where? There's nowhere to go. The water's over here. The Egyptians are over there. Like, where should we move? Seemingly, move into the water. The problem grammatically is, if the verse was, if Hashem was commanding Moshe to tell the Jewish people to travel, then it should have said something along the lines of, Daber al b'nei Yisrael lisa, or some language like that, that they should travel. The actual text says, speak to the Jewish people, and they translate as, let them journey forth, and they travel. Something along those lines. So I'm not going to be able to do a good job explaining the grammar of it. The implication is, in English, all they needed to do was travel. Says Rashi. Rashi is going to say that himself. Dabro b'nei Yisrael, the last two lines in the second column, Ein lahem ela lisa, all they need to do is travel. She'ein hayam omeid b'fneihem, the water's not going to stand before them. Moshe, why are you calling out to me? All the Jewish people need to do is start walking. It's not a command, Rashi, because of the grammar. It's not a command to tell them they need to march. It's, why are you calling out to me? There's nothing stopping them. If they'll just walk, they'll see, it will split, and they'll just simply be able to march right through. Kedai, says Rashi, it is sufficient, the zchus avoseyem, heim, their father's merit, their merits, vohe'emuna she'e'eminu bi, v'yotzu l'kroy elahem hayem. The water will just split right before them. Why are you calling to me? Just, if they'll just start moving, the water will naturally, it'll just split right before them without any difficulties. Let's put that Rashi on hold for a minute. Let's read a little bit further in the text. Tezayin, 16. V'ato haremes matcho neteyas yadcho. You should lift up your staff, stretch out your arm over the sea, uvka'eyu, and it will split. V'yavo v'nei Yisrael v'sochayom v'yavashon. The Jewish people will be able to come into the middle of the sea onto the dry land. V'ani, and as for me, says Hashem, hineni mechazek asleif Mitzrayim v'yavo achareyem. After I split the sea, the Jews will be able to enter into the dry land. I will ensure that the Egyptians follow in after them. And then I will become glorified through Paro and his army that will be drowned in the water. And then the Egyptians will know that I am Hashem. One last verse and we'll sum this all up. So that is what Hashem said will happen. Hashem says to Moshe, stop crying out to me. All you need to do is have the Jewish people start into the water. Everything will be fine. Their merits, their father's merits, everything would have been totally fine. The water will just split. You'll lift up your staff. Water splits. They'll go in. Egyptians will follow afterwards. And then I will become glorified, says Hashem, when the water comes crashing down. Everybody will know that I am Hashem. We'll do one last verse for what's relevant to us. Then the process actually begins. Vayisa malocha elokim. The angel of Hashem, who had been going in front of the children of Israel, now moved and went to the back of them, where the Egyptian army had been approaching from, as well as the Omod Ha'anon Mipneihem Vayamon Miachareim, as well as the pillar of cloud moved from what had been in front of them, and it also moved behind them. And the sages say it served as a protection between the camp of the Egyptians and the Jewish camp to protect them from arrows that had been sent. He now had this malach and the pillar of cloud separated the two camps and protected them while they began moving into the water in front of them. Rashi here is bothered by the language malach elokim. Who went from the front of the camp to the back of the camp? An angel of Hashem. Now, is this a merciful angel or an angel of judgment?
We don't know.
What would it seem more logical?
Judgment.
Why would you say it's an angel of judgment?
Well, because they didn't move. Nobody moved.
Okay. What's the purpose and function of this angel? It seems to be protection. It's moving from the front of the camp to the back of the camp to serve as a buffer in between the approaching Egyptian army and the Jewish people. So you're right, we'll get to that. It would seem that the function of the angel would be an angel of rachamim, an angel of mercy, an angel of kindness, so to speak, doing their job. So Rashi is bothered. That kind of angel should have been referred to as a Malach Hashem, using the name of Hashem of the Yud and the Hey and the Vav of the Hey. That's the name of Hashem, which has a connotation of a more of mercy, of kindness. What is this Malach referred to as? A Malach HaElokim. What does the word Elohim always refer to?
Judgment.
Judges themselves are referred to as Elohim. Yavo Dvar Shneim Lefneho Elohim. Bring the judgment before the judges. The word Elohim means judges. It's also one of the names of Hashem. So Rashi is troubled. It would seem that the function of this angel is a merciful function to protect the Jewish people. Yet, it's described as an angel of a judging God. Says Rashi. It's in the first Pasuk Yud Tes, page 372, the first Rashi on the page. Vayelech me'achareihem, the angel went behind them, lehavdil bein machane Mitzrayim uvein machane Yisrael, to separate the camp of the Egyptians from the camp of the Jews, ulekabel chitzim uvlistar osham Mitzrayim, to accept all the arrows and other weapons that the Egyptians were lobbying into the Jewish camp. So this angel of Hashem would travel to the back of the camp and stood as a buffer and miraculously protected the Jewish people. Asks Rashi the question that we just set up, v'chol makom hu omer malach Hashem. Everywhere else when we find the work of the angels, they're described as a Malach Hashem, using the name of Hashem, which has an attribute of mercy. V'kan Malach HaElokim. And yet here, this angel, despite the fact that it would seem to be doing a protective job, is described as a Malach of a judging God. Ein Elokim b'chol makam eladayim. It's always a lesson of din, of judgment. We learn from here, says Rashi, that the Jewish people were in the middle of a din of judgment up in Shemayim, in Lehinotel, in Leheover, in Mitzrim, if they should be saved or if they should be lost with the Egyptians. Says Rashi, up in Shemayim, right up until that moment, they're at the Yamsuf. There's a judgment up in Shemayim. Chazal, in a different language, as Rashi doesn't quote, says they were ministering angels who were yelling at Hashem and saying, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, the Halalu of the Avodah Zarah. These are idolaters and these are idolaters. Why are you saving these more than these? What merits do they have? What merits do they have? There was a din, there was a judgment up in Shemayim, whether or not the Jewish people merited to be saved. And the Malach Elokim, is the hint towards that, is that the angel who was sent to protect them, but it was an angel of judgments, because there was a judgment going on, whether or not they were going to be saved or not. It was hanging in the balance, whether or not someone was going to step forward, whether or not they were going to have the right level of emunah. It was unclear, the sages say, up until that moment, whether or not they would be merited to be saved in such a miraculous fashion or not. Now, that medrash needs to be discussed on its own merits. The meaning of that, as far as the context of the Pesach, so like, what do you mean there was a judgment? Like, this is the whole story right here. How could that be? Separate discussion, it may be another year. I want to discuss the question that the Maharal asks. We just studied two Rashis together. The first Rashi said, on the back half of the Pasuk in which Hashem says to Moshe, Matitzakilai, why are you crying out to me? All you need to do is move. The Yam's not going to stand in their way. Their merit, their father's merit, it would just split right away. They don't need to do anything. Just walk right through. Three Rashis later, a couple psukim later, Rashi quotes that the angel that moved to the back of the camp was an angel of din, an angel of judgment, because it was unclear whether or not they merited to be saved at all. Says Mal, I don't understand. How could Hashem say two psukim before that, why are you calling out to me? Just start moving. Nothing's standing in your way. Just, the yam's there, pretend it's not there. It's just going to split right before you. Your merit is so great, you'll go right through. And then two psukim later, all of a sudden, it's unclear whether or not they would have merited to be saved at all. Any question clear? Are you a question of what I've said, or are you giving an answer?
I have a question. I don't want to backstep, but if the Hebrew people where Jewish people were going towards if I read this right. It says, speak to the children of Israel and let them journey forth. As if the water would have split anyway. What's the significance of him lifting up the staff and stretching it out?
All right, stay focused. Oh, ask me afterwards.
Okay.
Ask me afterwards. Says the Maral. Hachi Perusha. Let me explain what's going on over here. Shlo hayo lahem lihisra'im ad sheyomru hamibli ein kvarim she'ein lahem elo lisa. They did not need to worry, they did not need to be concerned until they complained and said, were there not enough graves in Egypt to bury us there? You have to take us out here to die? Aval ach shal shenisra'amu, but now that they've complained, now they were in judgment. Are they worthy? Are they not worthy? That's all the Maral says over here. To explain the Maral, he says in other places the following idea. I'm going to read his words just because of the power of the concept that he's going to say. This is a hanhaga, this is a behavior that Hashem has in which He responds to us in the way we believe He is capable of responding. If you would have said, we're ready to follow you into the Yam, then it would have happened. As soon as you say, we're stuck, Hashem can't help us, there's nowhere for us to go, well, then you're going to need to use more of a natural means to get out of this problem because you don't think that I can do it. Well, let's see, are you worthy of some sort of miraculous event or not? But you see this, he brings a couple of verses. First example, you see this by the Meraglim, when the Jewish people sent the spies into the land of Israel. So Moshe, when he recalls the whole event in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, he goes back over all that had taken place in the first four books. So he says, we had left Mitzrayim, and I had said, Bo Urshu Es Haaretz, we'll go and inherit the land. Urshu, we'll just inherit it. We'll just like walk in, and we'll take it as if it's ours. Ein Ma'ar B'davar, nobody would have complained. You would not have needed a single war. Ilu lo shulchu miraglim. Had you not sent the spies, lo hayu tzrichim l'kleizad. You wouldn't have even needed weapons. Without asking to send the spies, we would have just walked right in, and the nations of the land of Israel would have said, oh, welcome home. They would have picked up and left. But you said, I'm not sure that we can conquer this. Let's figure out a military plan. Let's send spies and see if we can conquer it. Says Moshe, says Rashi there in Devarim, when you did that, when you said you wanted to use natural means, you wanted spies, you wanted to see if we could do it, Hashem says, okay, you get your arms ready because you're going to have to go to war to take it. When Yisroel are choishish in mehan hagas hateva, when you're concerned with the general natural path and you want to deal with that, so as I be'emes kach mesrachish, that's what's going to happen. You have to deal with it. If that's what you want, then you say Hashem can't help us, so then He'll say, okay, I won't, and you'll have to deal with the natural courses of events. He brings from a Gemara in Maseches Sota, the Maral. The Gemara in Maseches Sota says that kol mi sheyesh lo pas b'salo, somebody who has bread in his basket, he has what to eat today. Covered, not concerned, I have everything that I need. Ve'omer ma'oichel le'machar, but he says, but what am I going to eat tomorrow? What's going to be? I have what I need today. What am I going to do tomorrow? Einu ela miktanei emuna. So he is from the small in the levels of emuna. In the levels of bitachon, level of trust and faith in Hashem, he is small because he has what he needs for today. Hashem has taken care of him, but he's concerned about tomorrow. And this is what the Gemara says, the pasuk is referring to. So the Gemara Darshan is a pasuk that concludes with Mi garam l'tzadikim sheyizbaz beis shulchanim lo'asid lavo. What caused the righteous to have their table lacking in the world to come? Then when they get to Olam Haba, at the end of this world, their table will not be fully set. K'tanos shahaisa b'hem, the smallness that was in them, shelo ha'emin uva kadosh baruch hu. They didn't believe in Hashem. someone who has what to eat today and says, well, what will I eat tomorrow? That smallness is a reference to what the verse implies, that if you want to know why the table of the righteous will be less than completely full in the world to come, it's because they lacked that emunah. What, says the Maral, is the connection between worrying about my food tomorrow and the way that my table, my portion, will be in the world to come? So the Maral says, he says two things. Let's see if we can get through at least one. Ikir ha'emuna, shehu mamin bo yisporach, shekocho ein lo sof. Emuna means that you believe in Hashem, that He has the power that has no end. V'yesh lo kol, He has and can do anything. And therefore I believe that He has that. That's who I believe in. V'ka'asher b'shvil zeh, since I believe in His ability to do anything, when the time comes for Him to give me good, to bestow His kindness upon me, as yitein lo, He will give me, listen to this language, kifi ma shehayahu ma'amin bo shekach gadol kocho v'yicholto. According to what I believe His ability is, He will then give to me. He has unlimited ability. But He will only bestow His kindness upon me according to the level that I ascribe to Him the ability to do. He's not going to give me more than I actually believed Him capable of. It's as if I come to Him with a bottle cap and I say, fill my bottle cap up with a drink. So I'll fill your bottle cap up with an ounce and a half of liquid. That's what you brought to me. If you bring me a 4-ounce cup, I'll give you that. Whatever you bring to the table to be filled is what I'll fill you with. So according to the level of emunah that a person has, according to the level that a person believes in Hashem's ability to do anything, that's the measure that He will then do for you. Aval ka'asher einu ma'amin, both person doesn't believe in Hashem, and it's as if He's limiting His ability. I don't really think He could do that. I don't really think it's possible. So then when the time comes for Him to show you His strength and His ability, He will only show that according to that which you felt possible. And he goes on to explain, therefore, so that the righteous who live in this world with the emunah, that yes, if I have today, and took care of me today, He'll take care of me tomorrow. So when the time comes for their table to be set in the world to come as well, with that emunah that they believed in this world, He will bestow His kindness upon them in the next world. If you don't, or if a person doesn't, in the example that he brings, if the Jewish people in the desert didn't think that they could use external, non-rational approaches, Hashem will say, fine, if you don't think that I have the ability to do that, then we'll work under your terms that you would like to as well. So the Maral says, for here as well, when the Jewish people were at the Yam Suf, Hashem is saying, listen, you have the merits all there. Nothing is stopping you. The Yam is ready to be split. Just march right in. But what's their response to that? There are no graves in Mitzrayim. Why are we here? These are the Jewish people who have witnessed a year full of miraculous events. They've witnessed all of the 10 plagues. They just watched the Egyptians hand to them all of their gold and all of their silver. They marched right out of Mitzrayim, a people of nearly 3 million people, a place which not a single slave had ever escaped. And now they're stuck again. There's the water, there's the Mitzrayim. Vayitzaku al Hashem, they cried out to Hashem, that was okay. The problem was it was empty, and they had no trust you think after all that, after all that, He brought you here to slaughter you in the desert? That's what they said. After all this, You brought us here to slaughter us? Take us back to the tribe, it was better to be slaves. Says, well, alright. If that's the way you want it, you don't want me to have any miraculous intervention, you don't think that I could take you through this, well then we'll deal with this on your merits. And the din begins, and the judgment begins between the angels up in heaven, whether or not the Jewish people, on their own, actually merited the salvation. Because if they took Hashem out of the equation, they said, well, He can't help us. So Hashem goes, okay, well, can you help yourselves? What's your merits? What do you have going for you? And there was a Malach Elokim, there was a Malach of Hashem, and a judgment taking place in Shemayim, whether or not they did or did not merit to be able to be saved. Of course, in the end they did, but that's the shift, says the Maral, between the first Rashi, which says, like, why are you calling out to me? They just needed to walk and it would have been totally fine. Versus the fact that just a few verses later, based on their response to that situation, in which they took Hashem out of the picture, Hashem said, all right, you want me out of the picture, let's see what you can do on your own, let's see whether or not you merit. these are some of the ideas. That's what we have. So in summary, what we had is we had the Jewish people by Yitzhaku El Hashem crying out, Tofsu Umanos Avosan, they grabbed onto the trade of their fathers, but that was an empty trade. That's what they did because that's what they learned from their fathers. But it needs to be with real hearts and with emotion in order for that to be of value. We learned about Matzitzak Eli, why is Moshe, why are you crying out to me, don't daven. The whole purpose of this difficult situation was in order to get you to daven. But now that you're davening and the relationship is there, I can't save you while you're davening. I can't leave you while you're davening and take care of something. Finish up your davening so that I can go save the Jewish people. And the idea that the Maral puts forth, that the fact that the Jewish people complained and took Hashem out of the picture and did not think he can do it, so he says, if you don't think I can do it, I will only act according to your understanding of who I am. I will not show you more than what you believe me to be. I have done that. Our source, years later, generations later, Mitzrayim is our source of Emuna. According to the level of Emuna that we develop ourselves, that Hashem will take care of us, according to that level, He will. And I've actually experienced this, where I have had friends who are living in Israel, where I can't explain how they continue to exist, and what the little that they have, and how this thing happens. It's just a crazy string of events which always happen. And I happen to know that they're holding on a much higher level than I, and I really can't believe that it's happening, because it wouldn't happen to me. Because they see they're living a life of Emunah that's on a level so much, it's unbelievable that, for them it's normal. They really, inside, internalize it. And according to the way we live, is the way that Hashem responds. That's how it goes. That's what Maral says. That's the rule that he set up. On our level, wherever it's at, that's what we have to have faith. If we really don't have faith that it'll take care of us tomorrow, then you better get yourself a good job, because you're not going to do more than you think you can do. If you don't think you can do it, you know, get yourself a job. The more that you think, the less you have to do, because the more you really, honestly, trust and believe. That's a lifetime's work to get there. It's got to be real, obviously, and internalized. But that's the system, says Maral. That's how it works. The relationship between how we view Hashem and how He'll respond to us, it's always that Tzilcho Liad Minacha, I'm your shadow. As you respond to me, I respond back to you. A wonderful afternoon.